God indeed loves us just the way we are. But find out the other side of the coin next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We're joined by our Associate Director, Janet Morana. Janet, the churches now are getting ready, some to observe the Lenten season, and in general, to prepare for the great feast of Easter, which will be upon us before we know it.
Well, you know, I think when we look at Easter, Christians gather and in the weeks before Easter, they think about, what should I be doing in this special, time of the year. And sometimes people think of giving up things for Lent or those weeks before sacrificing, fasting. Mm-hmm. And recently, Father, you gave a sermon that I think really bases like what our thoughts should be about our relationship with God during the season.
Well, yes, because we need a season of preparation in order to worthily celebrate the most important event that happened in human history, which is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, what we call the Paschal Mystery, his passage from death to life again, leading all of us with him. And because it's our feast, not just about him rising, but because it's our feast of sharing the victory of life, well, then there needs to be that period of preparation, which we call Lent, and which Christians observe, as you say, in all different ways. But we're going to focus on the biblical meaning of this and some of the key demands that the gospel makes on us as we prepare for this celebration.
Well, Father, let's take a look at the sermon that you gave recently about preparing for Lent and Easter.
Our reading today comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 to 5. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, the rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Brothers and sisters, the Lord has come, and he is coming again. And as the Christian world prepares for the feast of his death and resurrection, by a period that many observe as Lent, we are in fact at a time when these words become more powerful and significant for us than ever before. There are two themes that are conveyed in these short verses from the prophet Isaiah. First, that a blessing is coming upon us, and secondly, that because of that blessing, things need to change in our own lives and in the world. The blessing is coming upon us because the Lord of all blessings is coming. He brings comfort. He brings forgiveness of sin. He brings redemption. And Isaiah proclaims that very powerfully here. Her service has been completed. No more slavery. The Lord comes to set us free. Her sin has been paid for. The very one that we've offended has come to make up for the debt of that offense. The Lord is, in fact, the Savior. That's why Isaiah says we should take comfort. This blessing is coming. And then, as soon as he says that, as soon as he proclaims that good news, he gives, if you will, the other side of the coin. If this God is going to come to bless us so much, then we cannot remain the way we are. If God is going to come into the world, it's not just that the world will be blessed, it's that the world must be changed. So he says, make straight the way of the Lord. Raise up the valleys, tear down the mountains. The Lenten season is a season of repentance, precisely for this reason. If we're going to celebrate the central event of all human history, which is the death and resurrection of the Lord, we cannot possibly do that just as spectators, observers, or even just as believers who watch and wait for God to do tremendous things. We prepare for it precisely by saying, Lord, what must I do to repent? Now, we find this theme continuously throughout the scriptures. Think, for example, of the encounter Jesus had with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, in the fourth chapter of John's Gospel. He promises to her living water. She's drawing the water from the well, but he says, I'm going to give you water from a spring that never is exhausted. And he was offering her, in other words, the gift of faith, to become a disciple, to receive the living water, which is a symbol of eternal life. And so certainly she was interested. Show me how I can get this living water, she asked him. And then Jesus said, go call your husband. Go call your husband first. And of course, that put her in a dilemma because she had five husbands. And Jesus said, yes, the one you are living with now is not your husband. He told her her sins. And the reason that just at the point that she was ready to accept that living water, just as the point that she was ready to experience this blessing of God, touch the gospel, he said, look at your sins first and repent of them. Make things right. He was saying to her what Isaiah had said centuries before. In the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight a highway for our God. Raise up those valleys. Tear down those mountains. Get rid of your sins. You see, so many people believe in God. He's out there. Maybe he thinks about me. Maybe he loves me. Maybe he likes me. Maybe he doesn't. And if he wants to do things in my life, he'll do them. And we essentially end up putting all the responsibility on God. Lord, if you want to save me, save me. If you want to bless me, bless me. I hope you're not going to curse me. And this is the extent of many people's relationship with and understanding of God. But Scripture tells us we have got to undertake the responsibility of repentance. And this is not just a program of personal improvement. Many people think about Lent and they say, well, I'll adopt some practices in Lent that'll make me a better person. And for some people, it basically is not very much higher than, for example, dieting. Well, some people need to lose weight. It's good if you can diet or do more exercise or any number of things to improve some aspect of your personality or your life. But brothers and sisters, we're not talking here simply about a personal improvement plan. We're talking here about a radical transformation. God wants to make of us not just better people. He wants to make of us new people. He wants to transform us to be like Him. And that's something that goes beyond human effort, but nevertheless requires a human decision. To say, Lord, yes, I'm going to accept your life in my life, and therefore show me how to change. Now, some people say, well, God, doesn't He love me just the way I am? Yes, He loves you right now, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what your sins are. In fact, you can't turn God's love off. Of course He loves you right here, right now, before you do anything else. In fact, you wouldn't be able to do anything else. You wouldn't be able to take your next breath. You wouldn't live for the next split second if He didn't love you. The fact of the matter, brothers and sisters, is that He loves you so much that He cannot allow you to stay the way you are. His love demands that we be changed, that we repent, that we be transformed radically. Now, St. Paul, when he writes to the Galatians, and we read this in chapter 2, verse 20, says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's the kind of transformation we're talking about here when we talk about repentance. In the letter to the Colossians, he says something very similar. Not only that we've died with Christ, but Colossians 3, verse 1 says, since you have been raised up with Christ, set your hearts on the things that are above. Notice again, there's the blessing and then there's the need for change. You've been raised up with Christ. Therefore, do what? Set your hearts on things above, not on things of earth. The Lenten season is very much connected with the theme of baptism. It's a time when many people are being prepared to become baptized, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and follow His commandment to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Many people preparing now to be baptized at Easter. And that's why it's a season of repentance. We're preparing the way for the Lord inside of us, welcoming that life by repenting of sin. And in the ceremony of baptism, and this stretches back all the way to the beginning of the church, there are promises that the person about to be baptized will make. And in many liturgies, in many Christian churches on Easter, all the participants who are already baptized renew these promises of their baptism. And they are asked several questions. And brothers and sisters, these questions, again, go to the heart of repentance. We are asked, whether we're preparing for baptism or renewing our baptism, we are asked, do you reject Satan and all his empty works and all his empty promises? And the Christian says, yes, I do. I do reject Satan because he wants me destroyed. He does not want my happiness. He doesn't want my fulfillment. He doesn't want me to find God. He doesn't want me to find myself. He doesn't want me to have life. I reject him. He's the tempter. He's the deceiver. He's the enemy of the human family. He's the enemy of God. Do you reject his works? What are his works? Scripture tells us his works are lying and killing. Do you reject all his empty promises? And the Christian says, yes, I reject his empty promises because I rely on the promises of one who is greater. I rely on the promises of God himself. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill made low. All the obstacles to finding God are to be removed, not only from our lives, but from our society. Because, brothers and sisters, the radical transformation of us as individuals by faith, by repentance, necessarily leads to the radical transformation of our society. We do not believe in a religion that separates, divides, and disconnects the spirituality of individuals from the renewal of the world. Rather, we believe, and Scripture bears witness to this from the beginning to the end, that what we await are new heavens and a new earth. The entire earth is transformed by the saving power of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In our day, what does the highway of the Lord look like? What valleys must be lifted up? What mountains must be cast down? We are living in a world, brothers and sisters, where many are trying to welcome God, but are rejecting human lives made in the image and likeness of God. We're living in a society where many try to worship the Lord and to bow down before Him, and then at the same time to say, well, I will decide whether a child in the womb is or is not a person, whether a child in the womb will or will not live. And I mention the children in the womb because of any human being, of any group of human beings, they are the most deprived, the most disrespected group of human beings in our day today. And I proclaim to you today, brothers and sisters, that we cannot welcome the God who comes. We cannot repent. We cannot celebrate the death and resurrection of the Lord. We cannot observe Lent. We cannot be radically transformed until and unless we are ready to welcome these children made in His image and likeness, these children for whom He suffered and died, for whom He came. If we reject them, we are rejecting the God who made them. If we are saying that they can be destroyed by the act of abortion, then we are saying that God can be destroyed. If we're not ready to change our minds and our hearts and to say no Christian can be pro-choice if that choice means the taking of a life, and unless we are ready to work for the changing of the laws and policies of nations that proclaim the killing of children to be a right, then in fact we are not preparing in the desert a highway for our God. The valleys that must be lifted up are the valleys that represent the lack of regard, the lack of respect for life, the absence of the unborn child in the thinking and planning of so many people and governments. And the mountains that must be knocked down today are those by which we exalt ourselves and say that our own choice is more important than the rights of these tiniest of human beings. We are sinners. We are all in need of repentance. But the sinful, repentant person does not wait until he or she is perfect before calling others to repentance. And that's why, brothers and sisters, as we embrace this spirit of Lent, and as we take to heart these words of the prophet Isaiah, we too call on each and every one of our neighbors, family members, friends, acquaintances, and enemies to in fact also repent and to embrace the fullness of life that comes in Jesus Christ and that requires and impels us to love and serve every human being. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the death and resurrection of your Son that transforms the world. Give us the gift of repentance, and may this Lent make us holy. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, we hope that our Lenten message is an encouragement to you as together we all prepare for the Easter celebration. And of course, Janet, many people know that I served at the parish where you worshiped. That's how we first met. And Easter was always a great and special time, wasn't it, there at the parish of St. Charles on Staten Island?
It was. And, you know, the liturgies, and I know your homilies especially, were very powerful, very inspirational. And I think they really helped us all do a lot of soul searching at this most special time of the church's calendar to say, what is our relationship with God? You know, that we've entered into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his death on the cross, you know, what did all that mean in our sins and evaluating where we are with him in our relationship? And the thing that I always remember, Father, was on the Sunday service, the Easter Sunday, how you had us all applaud at the resurrection. You know, it's kind of like when you think of this, you know, we applaud for plays, we applaud at a graduation, and here's the greatest thing that happened in human history. And you had us applaud, and hallelujah, Christ is risen, and we all responded.
The music was playing.
Yeah,
and,
it was
incredible. Well, the human emotions have to enter into these celebrations because God saves us as human beings, just as spirits.
That's
Well, good. And those homilies are available on our website, even from back in the days before I got into full-time pro-life work. We have those homilies, gospellife.com. People can access them.
That's right.
Thanks, Janet. Well, friends, stay with us because we're going to ask for your support for this vital ministry, and then we're going to have our action segment to tell you more things that you can do to build a culture of life. So stay with us.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Welcome to our action segment. Janet, February is Black History Month, and we have some recommendations for pro-lifers to do during the month of February.
Well, you know, Father, one of our pastoral associates is Alveda King, and she's a niece of Martin Luther King Jr., and we have, in particular, with our Gospel Life Ministry, an African-American outreach that Alveda heads up. We have a special page on our website that they can go to where Alveda keeps it updated with the activities among the Black community that she's out there doing to really raise awareness about the devastating effects of abortion, specifically on the African-American community.
So we're encouraging people to be familiar with that information and to begin using it during the month of February. For example, if students have to do research into Black history, here you have a living figure of Black history among us who has something to say about an issue of the day. Why not do a research paper on that? Or some of our viewers might want to recommend to students they know to go to gospeloflife.com, look up Alveda, and do research on that. Secondly, when people are giving pro-life talks in other contexts, or preachers who are giving pro-life homilies, or people who are writing articles, letters to the editor, blogs, bring into all of those communication networks the message of Alveda King and of the various other organizations that are pointing out the urgency of the Black community understanding more about abortion and the impact it's having on them.
Well, you know, one of the things that people always focus in on Black History Month, I know as a former public school teacher, is, of course, one of the key Black leaders they look to is Martin Luther King Jr. And, of course, his I Have a Dream speech is quoted. And what I like is the quote Alveda gives now is, how can the dream survive if we murder the children? And see, these are just very simple things that people can say during Black History Month to point to people that abortion is really, the numbers are staggering, as we know Naomi King, who is Alveda's mom, says about abortion,
yes,
referring to abortion.
She's been speaking out on abortion as well.
That's right. And so, you know, it's good to bring up these little things in conversation, because there's always the figures in history that specifically will be spoken about. But let's put a little bit more pro-life spin onto this and show that there are groups like Planned Parenthood. You know, look where Planned Parenthoods are. They target the Black community very often. I know one such community out in L.A., there's seven Planned Parentheads surrounding a community that's mostly Black and Hispanic people. And I think you need to point out to people during Black History Month that this is what's going on in our current day, an attack on African Americans.
Now, Alveda also has a book of her own coming out named after the quote that you mentioned a moment ago, How Can the Dream Survive? We urge people to look for that, and as well as her book about the King family.
The Sons of Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
And the information, again, up on the African American page on our website.
Yes. And then she has some music resources, too. She's a good singer, Alveda is.
Yes, she is. She has, which we have available at Gospel of Life, we have a CD called Let Freedom Ring. And then she also did a DVD called Latter Rain. And this is where there's a young girl who's in an unplanned pregnancy situation, and she's being pressured to have an abortion. And, well, I'm not going to tell everyone how it concludes. They'll have to get the DVD and listen. And it's a music DVD, a little bit rap to it. And it's kind of funny to see Alveda doing a little rap.
Well, those who are youth ministers, use these resources, especially in the month of February. And, again, at gospellife.com, you'll see how to get those. Well, thanks, friends, for all you are doing to promote awareness of the tragedy of abortion. Speaking of awareness, at the conclusion of this program, as now we customarily do, we're going to show you some very visual, graphics, disturbing images of what abortion actually is, because we're convinced that unless America sees abortion, America will not reject it. We're going to let you see it now. And as you watch these images, please pray with us that souls and hearts and consciences will be stirred across this nation so that people, black and white, Catholic and Protestant, everyone together will rise up and say, enough of this killing. Let's build a culture of life. God bless you.
Until people saw images of children in coal mines, did they enact child labor laws. Not until people saw images of human torture, did they rise up against slavery. And now, after seeing these images, what will you do? Priests for Life. Because America will never reject abortion, unless America sees abortion. Call now to learn how you can help. There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please, call, write, or make your gift online today. The Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.